SBS Radio.
My guest is Emma Gallette, who's just been awarded this year's Wesfarmers John Monash Scholarship. A scholarship recognises Australia's most prestigious postgraduate overseas study programme. Ms. Gallette will study a Bachelor of Business Administration and Bachelor of Civil Laws at the University of Oxford, with a focus on integrating the rights of traditional owners in mining strategy decisions that affect the land, water and air. Emma Gallette, before we dive into the academic journey that you're about to embark on, tell us about yourself.
Sure. So my name's Emma Gallette, originally from Geraldton, now living in Perth. I'm at the moment conducting legal research at Curtin Law School around traditional owner interests in water and how we can integrate those rights into water, the water licensing framework here in WA. And in addition to that, I just received a scholarship to go to Oxford University next year through the Sir General John Monash Foundation.
And you've partly answered my next question, because that's the main topic of our conversation today. This scholarship, and it comes on top of other really prestigious achievements, being the first Aboriginal person to graduate from both the Curtin Law School and the Curtin Business School with a double degree. I just couldn't enumerate all your achievements. Just tell us a little bit, comment a little bit for us on those achievements.
Oh, thank you. It's really overwhelming, I think, and it's a bit overdue that it's 2021 and you're just having Aboriginal students graduating from universities. My parents weren't able to go to university because at the time the government wouldn't allow them to. And so it was only until they were further along in their life when they had the rights to go to university and study. So to think that it's around this time now that a lot of different universities are seeing our First Nations people come through and graduate is amazing. For me, what really inspires me is all of my elders that have gone before me and being able to stand on the shoulders of them and continue all of the work that they've been fighting for so long. And so what I've done in the past and what I'm doing, it's not an achievement on my own. It's really through the support of my family, the community, my elders, my workplace. It's really a community. It's really having everyone involved in a community feat to get young Aboriginal people that are able to do great things. So I think it's really important to remember that it's everyone that's there to support you because they want you to represent them. It's not a matter of being someone that's leading or paving a path, because I'm not really. I'm just following on the path that my elders have set before me.
Yeah, and you'll be building on not only on this heritage and this past and wealth to go and further protect Aboriginal cultural heritage in mining decisions. We already know that mining interests usually clash with traditional owners' interests. Can you tell us how you reconcile these?
I'm not well placed to provide an answer. I wish I could provide an answer that could solve all of the problems and reconcile competing interests, but it's so difficult and it's really complex, and there's so many different details and stakeholders that get involved when you're making decisions. There's political interests, there's economic interests, there's social interests. So really deciding what needs to come first is not a matter for me. But what I will say is that I really believe Aboriginal people, and especially traditional owner groups, need to be seen as not just stakeholders, but they need to be partners to decisions made, because it's their land and it's their water. And a lot of traditional owners in Western Australia have native title determinations or registered claimants. So you have to recognise their rights and interests in their land so they can practice their customs and cultural beliefs. And I think what we're seeing now is the importance of when community comes together to be able to make sure that all of our traditional owners are having a voice and they're being listened to, and there's weight and in what traditional owners want to say, rather than just hearing. So I think that's the key. You need to really listen meaningfully and place weight on what traditional owners say that they want, I'm a traditional owner myself from both my mum's line of and my dad's line. So I've seen a lot of challenges in this space. And like I've said, it's not for me. It's not for me to say. It's for my elders. But I think it's just knowing that the future is something that needs to be inclusive and listens to all voices.
Your study will obviously draw from your experiences and propose some solutions. What directions and outcomes will you explore?
When I'm at Oxford, I'm planning on doing both a Master of Business Administration and a Bachelor of Civil Law, which is Oxford's equivalent to a Master's in Law. And so what I'm going to be focusing on is integrating traditional owner rights and interest in land and water into strategy, specifically mining strategy and strategy relating to environmental, social and governance strategies and targets. With the BCL at Oxford, the Bachelor of Civil Law, that will be looking at that from a legal perspective. There's a dissertation option that I'll have my own research and focus on. And then in the MBA, I'll look at it from a commercial perspective. Is it commercially viable? How will that operationalise? What are the economics that will go into that? And then how will this operate within the existing system, and how can we make it work in a way that meets the needs of our traditional owner groups and also meets proponent needs and where we can work together? And for me, it's all about being collaborative and having co-design of these processes and having co-governance. They're really integral and key components of any design. It's going to be a lot to do over the next couple of years, but it's really important work, I think, and it's taking a different approach to working with First Nations people, and it's taking more of a approach which maybe it's 20 years ahead of what we're currently doing now, or maybe not, but who knows what it will end up looking like. But I think what will come out of it is a lot of change in the benefit of our traditional owners.
Obviously, being at Oxford University, will you be travelling to the UK, or will you be doing it remotely?
Yeah, so I'll be travelling and living in Oxford when I'm over there. That's the plan. definitely would not want to do that remotely at all. And so it wouldn't be at the exact same time. So you do the law first for a year, and then you do the MBA in the second year. So that's the plan. So, and what I'm hoping to do is publish articles while I'm completing the research. So there's something coming out while I'm studying it over there. Yeah, so there's a lot to do. I've got to move overseas next year and organise all of my visa and everything else in the process. But the Scholarship Foundation, that the General Sir John Monash Foundation, have been really extremely helpful in the whole process. And they're such a great network of people that they've connected me with in Oxford and in London as well. So there's a lot of people that are there to support and help on this journey. And it's not the first time that an Aboriginal person has went to Oxford. We have many Aboriginal scholars that have went over there and done really great, amazing work. So they paved the path and set a really good example for other people like me. And I'm not the first, and I won't be the last. So hopefully there's a lot more Aboriginal people that go to Oxford and other really renowned international universities as well to further protect and recognise Aboriginal people's interests.
Yeah, I can't wait to read the papers you'll be publishing along the way. Will you be publishing it as one thesis, or you will be a thesis by through different publications, papers?
Yeah, good question. Haven't really thought that far ahead, but pragmatically, it will have to be different articles. That's what I plan on doing. I think it will unfold as the research happens and as it gets conducted. But what's really important, I want to focus on including my elders and my family in this. So that might involve having trips back home in my study to do interviews and things like that, or because, like I said before, co-design is so integral and important for this. And if I can have papers come out of Oxford that have all of my family and community and involved in, my elders, that is really, really special to me, and it's something that I think needs to happen. So I still need to explore that process and see how it will work, but that's vital for my research, especially when it comes to proposing new ideas.
And you also have to take into account the custodian's views. It's not just about drafting law. You have to take into account what the owners, the traditional owners of the land, are really their point of view, their perspective in this. There's a quote from you that you want to bring comfort to companies as they make business and strategic changes to operate with a greater social license by utilizing renewable energy to reduce their carbon footprint, exploring the use of blockchain technology to improve operations, and including traditional owners in the current and future strategic development in mining. There's a lot to unpack in there. One thing that caught my attention is especially blockchain. This is cutting edge technology.
Oh, absolutely. And it's the future. And we already see that now. There's a digital finance CRC that started, and it's looking at fintech and how we can bring together different stakeholders like industry and research and other areas to transform the next generation of financial markets. And blockchain is a big focus, I think, in the future. And so for that area, it's really seeing how we can incorporate our First Nations people into that opportunity.
Now, Emma Gillette, as we reach the end of our conversation, what is your take-home message?
It's really just believing in yourself, knowing who you are, and making sure that you have the support of your elders and the community behind you in whatever you do. If you have the support of everyone, and if you do the hard work and believe in yourself, anything is possible. And I think in addition to that, it's really important as well to remember you need to make time for yourself as well, and make sure that you have time to reconnect with nature and take your shoes off and put your feet in the sand and walk in nature and feel the air and take deep breaths, because life is just happens in the blink of an eye. So you need to remember what your purpose is and why you're here. And remember that when you're gone, people don't remember what you did. They really remember how you made them feel. That's something that guides me in my journey. And it's really about serving others. And that's the most important thing to me.
Emma Gillette, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today about the exciting academic journey you're about to undertake.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, thanks for getting in contact with me and wanting to have a chat with me about, going to Oxford. And thank you for taking the interest in really promoting Indigenous excellence. It's so important to see positive media and good news stories, because all too often we don't see that in the media, and it's really disheartening.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.